Thank you, Chair, and also I echo others' messages to thank you for the focus on this issue, and both OCHA and ECOSOC for the emphasis on localisation. I also want to thank presenters. I think they've all given some very challenging, frank views, which I think on this sort of topic and issue is welcome and needed. Like a number of the speakers, but particularly I think from my Pacific colleague, there was the message I got away very much was that it's as much about how we do it as what we do. And I think this is one of the messages clearly come through following the grand bargain and other issues is for all of us, whether it's donors, whether it's the UN, whether it's humanitarian agencies or national governments, that we need to really think the how and what that really means in terms of our relationships, the systems, and the structures that we have in place before, during, and after crises. I think it means, and what I'm hearing is it's challenging us to break habits. It's challenging us to look at new ways of working in systems. And this can often mean acknowledging that this can bring less order sometimes. Sometimes the focus on giving order can result in marginalising communities, and we need to acknowledge that it may bring some uncertainty at times, and we need to accept that level of reality during crises. I think, but what can really help with that is a message again that my Pacific colleague but others emphasised was the absolute critical nature of long-term relationships. And allowing the time and the learning from both sides. I think if we're going to achieve localisation, it's not just about donors or the UN or national local organisations changing. It's all of us coming together to work out how we can collectively bring about a better outcome. This is an issue that Australia is struggling with, and we're committed to continuing to improve our efforts. We've invested and continue to invest more resources and support for local women's organisations, disability organisations, Red Cross societies and the NDMOs across the Pacific and the Asia region. But as I said, we're still learning and this is a process that will continue. I think we also need to celebrate progress and where there are opportunities where things are getting better. And in our region, I think the role of national and local actors is increasingly strong and increasingly taking leadership in response to crises. Working with the Indonesian colleague in response to the Sulawesi crisis, there was an effort to look at how, rather than deploying Australian medical teams to deliver response, it was deploying Australian medical teams to be embedded into the Muhammadiyah health teams, where they were a resource that could be utilised by the national Indonesian health teams. But this was only possible because the relationships had been in place before, and that relationship allowed that model to then be delivered. The final point, I think, is just to really echo the point made by a colleague from Africa on the disability and the challenges that particularly women with disabilities face in refugee contexts. This is the reality, it's often the most marginalised groups, but it's, I think as the Chair you said, the message really is it's as much about shifting power and vulnerable and marginalised groups having that power and voice and not just being heard, but being able to be acted on. Thank you.